Murkowski, who will minister to us tonight. Will you say, God bless Brother Murkowski? Amen. Praise God.
Thank you. You may be seated, and the Lord bless you. Appreciate the opportunity to minister to you tonight. I was just thinking that many times, many people in the world make a lot of predictions and a lot of prophecies. It's quite frequent today. Occasionally, some of our Pentecostals go out on a limb and do a little adding and subtracting and multiplication and try to figure out when the Lord's going to come, but you can't work it that way. The Lord didn't tell me to add and subtract and multiply and figure. He told me to be ready, and that He wouldn't let any of us know the exact hour of the day. Time ago, I showing some boys, I said, if I had 28 and wanted to divide it by 4, I said, how much would that be? And they said 7. I said, no, under new math, it'd be 13. So I divided it out. Sometimes if you want to see that, I can prove that it's 13. But that's new math. And I make it work out. You can make a lot of things work out, but it won't come to pass. But I will make this one prediction, that God will probably extend the stay of execution to Oral Roberts past March. Now, if he dies at the end of March, all you folks are going to say, well, he had it right, but I'm going to say he still didn't hear from God. It just happened to die. I'm going to be an unbeliever any way they go. But that's all right. The Lord helped him, and not necessarily being so derogatory, but it's quite a controversial thing over the news media, and some of the television stations have kicked him off. But I think that he really wished he hadn't put that out. But he's in his trap. He'll work out of it. But whether he does or doesn't, we're Pentecostal tonight. We love God, love truth. Hallelujah. And going to try our best to preach the word of the Lord and live by what the Bible has to tell us. Thank God. Appreciate all of you good folks and your kindness. A good brother that works at Raywick, I appreciate him. And I want to tell you this. This would make you appreciate him a little more. We're living in a day when business folks have a tendency sometimes to just tell you anything. I've called at various places, and they'd say, well, they left 2 hours ago, and they're not there. And maybe another hour or so, they roll up, and you say, well, what happened? And some of them will stick by their story. They had trouble. But this fellow, if you ask him when he left the place, no matter what somebody else has told him, he's going to tell you the exact truth. He don't care who it hurts, he's just going to tell the truth. And that's the way it ought to be. Thank God for folks that's just honest and upright. You might not like it, you might get a little unhappy, but the truth just pays. It just pays to stick with the truth and be honest and honorable and upright. And I always appreciate him so much in the work of God, and the Lord bless him. I want to read the verse of Scripture tonight, and then we'll ask Brother Rutledge to pray in the second book of Kings. And the 5th chapter and the 20th verse. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman, this Syrian, in not receiving in his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, behold, even now they are come to me from Mount Ephraim, two young men of the sons of the prophet. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and 2 changes of garment. Brother Rutledge, would you pray?
Lord, we are needy people.
Praise God.
The words of this Old Testament passage. God, instill in our hearts the word of the Lord tonight, that we may know how
praise
to
God
and be blessed. Because we know that you want to bless a needy people. We're that needy people, and you are the blessing. Bless Mother McCoskey with the word of God tonight to our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise
the Lord, everybody.
Praise,
thank
praise.
You. Tonight, for a few moments, if I could use the subject, It would be the role of a servant. This is a beautiful, dramatic scene when you look at the stage it's set with the various characters. It goes back to Naaman's and his wife and a little maid that has been captured by the Syrians. And I guess this is a horrible thing to think about, being captured and taken away into captivity, perhaps never to see her parents again. But the beautiful side of this was that she adjusted to the role that she was placed in. And you know, life doesn't always go like we want it.
Right.
But it's wonderful to be able to adjust to the will of God.
Amen.
And just accept everything like it is. My mother the other night, incidentally, she and Sister Edwin are home watching television, videos. She's watching, they're cranking it up as I left, getting ready to have church. They're both ill tonight, and besides that, Sister Edwin had to stay with her. But I told my mother, said something about us getting along, and I said, "Look, you preached all of your life since you got the Holy Ghost. We're Pentecostals, Jesus' name, apostolics that love God. We got to get along. What you talking about, woman? We don't have any choice. We're the people of the Lord." And I said, "You preached all of your life being happy and contented. And you preached that Paul said, 'I'm contented in whatsoever state I'm in.' Let's get a head out of sand. Sure, it's tough to have diabetes. It's tough to have to take shots. It's tough to have to suffer a little bit at times. But it's wonderful to be able to serve God.
Yeah.
It's wonderful to be able to sit down and not suffer." And most of the time, she was feeling pretty well. But we all get in that old state sometimes of sort of about halfway self-pity. Mm-hmm. Get to feeling a little bit sorry for herself. But it's just time to look up and say, "Oh, God, I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I want to live for God.
Lord.
And if you're Lord, I'll let me get the apostolic church and feel the Shekinah glory of God.
Yeah.
I'll be happy anyhow. Thank God, Lord, it won't make a lot of difference whether I have a Cadillac or a Volkswagen or whether I have a mobile home or a mansion house. Lord, if you'll let me feel the presence of God."
Yeah.
That's just the way it ought to be. But this little girl had told the Naaman's wife, said, "My master, the prophet over in Israel, rather, he could help Naaman. I like this specific. He wasn't, he might could help him. He might could do something for him, but said specifically, he can heal him."
Right.
We don't need to go out on a limb and say that God will heal every sick person in the world, but we can go out on a limb and say at 6 in Dakota, the Apostolic Church, our pastor can help anybody that's in sin.
Yes.
If you got problems from alcohol to dope or whatever, if you want to find deliverance, it's at this church. Our God is a miracle-working God. Come on down. We're specific, we're positive, we're absolute that God will, can, and is ready to do something. Hallelujah. I like this positive side of this thing. So then it comes to the king of Syria. He gets involved. He gets word to the king of Israel, and he's involved, and he's scared to death because he's afraid he's going to start a war.
That's right.
Time gets scared when they're going to start a war.
Yeah.
My teacher out at college had those poor kids all scared to death when little Gaddafi was over there popping his gums and Mr. Reagan and talking about what he's going to do. And she said, "Ladies and gentlemen, you better get ready for war." I said, "Teacher, don't scare these kids up. There don't be no war." Gaddafi just run his lip, and Mr. Reagan handled him very well. Sure, I'm glad I proved her wrong. But he was afraid of the war. But the word got to the king, and the king said, "I can't do anything." But the man of God said, "Send him on down here." Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, you can talk like that when you hear from God, but you got to hear from God. You can boast in the Lord when you got it, but if you ain't got it, don't go out on a limb. You got to have it, thank God. The church has got to be alive before they can talk like that. You can say, "We're a blessed people. Come on down. We worship the Lord," but you got to have it. Thank God we got to have full shop, full house, plenty of goods. Walked into one of my friends, a little grocery store the other day, and get something. I said, boy, you're going to go broke if you don't get some stuff in the store. You can't run no wagon up down the road with an empty shop. You've got to have some merchandise to sell. Let's get something in here or you're going to be flat broke. He said, I ain't got no money. I said, you're going to have less if you don't get something in here to sell. And we got to have it. Thank God it's all right to talk it, but we got to have it. But the prophet had heard from God. He said, send him on down here. I'll take care of it. And he comes down, and of course, he won't go out and see him. I like this. God's independent. He's not going to jump because the mayor comes down, or the judge comes down, or Mr. Clinton comes down. He won't get the Holy Ghost unless he repents of his sins and seeks God. He needs to be baptized in Jesus' name just as much as the rest of us. He needs to get the Holy Ghost just as much as the rest of us. But God's not going to jump because of prestige or great power or great honor. He was a captain. But there was a second part of that sentence that said, but he was a leper. He had problems. And he needed help from God real bad. Somebody get me a little sip of water. Thank you. But as he gave him these words, he became very wroth. Very mad, he went away. But finally, his servants talked him into listening. I like the humble, contrite men in spirit who make peace and try to settle folks down and say, now listen, let's talk this thing over. Oh, God, give us people that attitude, that spirit. Say, look, let's talk, let's talk. Let's reason this out. God's reasonable. God's always been fair. God's always been considerate. God's always been merciful.
Right.
And those servants of his got some sense into his head and got him to listen. He said, well, we'll go down and try it. They just as well. I think when folks are desperate and destitute, they ought to be willing to try anything that's reasonable.
I believe it.
And the man of God said, all you got to do is dip seven times in the River Jordan. I know why God said the River Jordan. I don't have to know why. He just said the River Jordan. That's just it. God said it. That's it. That's settled. It's all over. It's true. I'm not going to stand around and argue with atheists. The Bible said they're already fools. So the fool said in his heart, there's no God. No need me arguing, debating fools. Leave them alone. If they want to die and go to torment, I'm sorry. But I can't waste my time with folks that says there's no God. Folks running around wanting to debate there's a God. We're not going to debate there is a God. We're just going to worship God, serve God, live for God, preach the gospel, and see the effects of Almighty God. Hallelujah. But he got his healing, and he came back. Oh, hell, I'm sure glad he came back. Showing his appreciation and gratitude. We ought to show our gratitude to God every time we come to church. We ought not ever forget that we had problems out there in sin. Amen. Serious problems, thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Maybe the first time you ever saw a windmill running on water, but it takes a little bit of that. But the man of God looked at him as he came back and he said, well, I want to do something. Oh, I like that. I want to do something good for the cause of God. Brother Rutledge preached, and I remember last time I was here, he talked about you can't buy this with money. But after you find God, then you give you money. You can't do good deeds and get it, but after you get it, you do good deeds. And that's the way it works. So he's so overjoyed, he brought back a bunch of gifts and said, man of God, I want to give you these gifts. And I'm glad the man of God didn't accept this. Because this proves to me that whether it's salvation or healing or what, God makes no charge. And he don't want folks coming up here with this old theory of some of the fundamentalists is praying for the sick and saying, now an operation's going to cost you $2,000. Why don't you just give $1,000 to God and get healed? Hogwash. The Lord don't operate that kind of way. He don't want us operating that way. We preach, we pray, and we do what we can do and then let people give out of the goodness of their hearts. But Naaman wanted to do something good. But the man of God, for fear, I'm sure that this would look like he was being paid for praying for him and asking God to heal him, refused it. But here comes Gehazi, and this is what I want to talk about. Gehazi's the servant. Oh, hallelujah, it's good to be a servant of God. And let's look at, first of all, let's look at the good things that Gehazi had going in his favor. He had a home. He had security. Do you realize that thousands of people in Israel would have envied his position to get to be with a man of God 24 hours a day, right, to get to live in the courts of the great prophet of Israel? Right. If he gets sick in the night, he could go to the man of God and say, "Looky, I'm suffering," and the man of God would have beseeched the Lord, and the Lord would have healed him. He had three good meals a day. He had a home. He had prestige. He had honor. He had blessings. He had all the things that he could want. And I'm going to tell you tonight, we Pentecostals have really got all we really need. We do not need honor. We don't need a bunch of prestige and fame. We don't need to live in mansion houses. We don't need churches with great expensive chandeliers hanging from the ceiling. We need to be the simple, honorable people of God that love the Lord with all of our heart. Now, I'm not criticizing or condemning folks that have mansion houses if they can afford them and can pay for them. I don't mind our preachers having Cadillacs half a block long. I know I'm exaggerating, but you're getting the story, evangelistically speaking, but there's some of them pretty long. That's all right, but don't have that man down at the Cadillac place saying that that preacher skipped out on me and I had to go get my Cadillac. Just get one long as you can pay for it. And I believe that's pretty good philosophy. But the man of God wouldn't take his money. But the servant said, "I want me some of that money." Here's the dangers of the servant I want to talk to you about. You can be stringing along and doing ever so good in the kingdom of God, but don't ever believe that that devil is not going to keep on after you. You said, "I've been serving God for 30 years. You're not excluded from the forces of hell. They have bidden for your soul tonight." He's still after the church. He's after every individual. Gehazi had been a servant a long time, but all of a sudden, greed got a hold of him. I was talking to some businessmen the other day, and we were talking about a certain financial institution. Of course, everybody in the world knows about it, so no need be so secretive about it. And I talked to one of these men that had been formerly associated with him. I said, "What went wrong?" And he said, "Greed got him, boy. Greed got him." And I thought, greed got this servant.
That's right.
All of a sudden, he said, "I want me some of those talents of silver.
That's right.
I got to have it." Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you, you ladies, you can, if you're fortunate enough to get a $5,000 diamond ring, wear the thing with honor. But if you don't have one, you thank God for that $25 or $30 one. I think mine cost $50 back when I bought it. That's a long time ago from a wife. Mine cost about $25. I hope you don't get too offended over this little old piece of gold I got. I can't get the thing off my finger anyway, so I'd have to have it cut off. But being content and happy is the main thing. But Gehazi said, "I want those wedges of silver. I want some silver. And those two Babylonian garments would make me look good when I strut down and say, 'Look here, I got me a new fancy suit on.'" So like a colored dude come out on the job some years ago, and he had on a $75 suit, and that's quite a bit of money back then. He was working. He said, "Look here, this here's my suit pants. The suit cost me $75 doing carpenter work." I thought, "Boy, you need you some overalls or some khaki breeches. You in the wrong, you just trying to show off. And you in the wrong spot, the wrong place, at the wrong time." But Gehazi said, "I want some changes of garment. I got to move up a little in the world. I want to be a little more prestigious." So like this guy come in one time looking for work before I was working, and the boss said, "What kind of job are you looking for?" He said, "Really, to tell you the truth, I'm looking for a high position."
Yeah.
He said, "I guess you would like a job inspecting the serial numbers on $100 bills.
Yeah.
He said, "That would be all right, wouldn't it?" He said, "But we ain't got no job like that. Boy, you need to make up your mind. You're willing to sweep the floors or do anything. You don't get no job acting like this." But Gehazi said, "I want a higher position. I want something that'll lift me up. I'm tired of being the average old Joe. I want to move up." But, oh, that would have been all right, perhaps, if he hadn't went about it in the wrong way.
Right.
So he said, I'm going to go get it. I'm going to tell me a little lie. Brother Rollins preached some time ago about lying, and we got to be careful. I've got so nervous and afraid, and I'm dead serious now. I love our Pentecostals, and I love all of our Pentecostal brethren, but they get to talking sometime a little bit swoof, and I'm afraid they get it mixed up. And I get nervous. I'm dead serious. I get nervous as to how they rattle on. I'm afraid they're all mixed up, and we need to be straight and honest and upright and truthful and get it right. Get the story right. Sometime we get a little far out on a limb. We get like the little boy that was climbing the said, Mom said, there's 50 squirrels down in the tree. She said, that's too many squirrels. He said, it was 25. She said, that's too many squirrels. Said, I know it was 10. She said, that's too many squirrels. He said, well, I know it bound to have been 5. She said, looky, boy, there's still too many squirrels. He said, well, that knot wasn't no squirrel. It certainly didn't look like one on that tree. So we got to get it right. That's not what we want to talk about tonight. This servant, though, messed up. He told a lie. And the man of God caught up with him. He come back. And I'm going to say this right now, and I want you to think about this. If I don't say anything else, the preacher or the man of God knows a whole lot more about you than you realize. And when you're lightening up and slipping a little bit, he notices it. He may not say anything. He may not mention it to you. And then later on, when some of the folks fall out, miss out with God, lose out with God, and everybody's shocked, and that preacher knows. He said, I've been noticing, I've been realizing. He wanted to help you. He preached, he pled, he cried, he did everything he could do. But he couldn't just come out and grab you by the nape of the neck and say, hey, you're backsliding. He preached, and he cried, and did all he could do. And Gehazi came back, and the man of God said, I know where you've been. He said, I ain't been nowhere. I used to tell my mom that when she said, you smoking, boy? And I said, no, ma'am. She said, blow your breath. She said, yeah, you've been smoking? And I said, no, ma'am. Of course, I was bad to lie, and I was a kid. Bad. I was trying to keep that hickory limb off me. You'd lie, too. You knew how mama put that hickory limb on when you smoke. There's one thing for sure. When I got big enough to smoke, I never did want to smoke. Thank God for that. I just never wanted no smoking. That grapevine and corn silks and rabbit tobacco and oak leaves is about all I ever got. And that was terrible. I don't know why anybody in the right mind would try that, but we'd do anything, I guess, when we were kids. But this man lied to the man of God, and here's a sad, pathetic thing, but he said, Gehazi, this leprosy is going to cleave to you and your seed. See, he had it all. He didn't realize what he had. He had a home. He had security. He had shelter, he had love, he had appreciation, he had the blessings of God, the envied position of Israel, and now he's got leprosy. I'm going to tell you, folks, we got it well tonight. You better realize where we're at. We're blessed of God, we're blessed of God, we're blessed of God tonight. But I see everybody that prospers a lot better than I do. I see the prominent, I see people with fortune and fame. But my, they're committing suicide and shooting their brains out, and policemen and everybody else, and all walks of life, every time we turn around with the problems and trouble of this old world, they're addicted to cocaine, they're addicted to alcohol. Every family is touched by the horrible sins of adultery and ungodliness, immorality. It's touching and breaking all of their hearts everywhere. Lord, we've got it tonight. We've got the warmth and security and the love of the church.
Thank you, Lord.
But as a servant, we better guard that and watch that and hang on to that and love that with all of our heart.
Right. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Being a servant's a beautiful thing. Some years ago, Brother Rutledge remembers this well. Brother and Sister Buck Miller and Brother Rome was sitting eating. Brother Rutledge probably is told this. And they called upon Brother Rome to pray. And as he started to pray, he spoke in tongues in the Indonesian language and had no knowledge of what he said, but Brother and Sister Buckmiller understood the Indonesian language. Sister Buckmiller said, do you know what she said? And he said, no, I don't know. He had been depressed, he'd been down and out, been sort of discouraged. And she said, you said in Indonesian, I am the Lord's servant. If God would make such a big issue, Brother Rome, you're the Lord's servant.
Hallelujah.
This is the greatest thing God can say. You're the Lord's servant. Sure, we're kings and princesses and we're royalty, but to be the Lord's servant. Said Brother Rome, perked up real quickly, and it just encouraged him, just put him on high.
Amen.
Nothing more would put you on high than a message direct from the glory world. That's what I believe in tongues interpretation. I know that's right, thank God. I know the Lord said that, for they by knowledge interpreted what the Lord had to say.
Hallelujah.
Oh, what a blessing it is. Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
We're the Lord's servants tonight.
Amen.
But we've got to use that which God gives us to the best of our ability.
Hallelujah.
Thinking my testimony last Sunday night, I mentioned the fact that Jesus gave a parable concerning the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
And in this parable, he gave one man 5 talents, 1 2, and 1 only 1. But that man that had 5, he put it to work. He used it to the best of his ability. And the good part about it, he came up with 10. Thank God for people who have talent. Thank God for people who have talent. It's wonderful. I like to see great, marvelous, outstanding preachers, and we've got them in Pentecost. They can preach good enough for the president or anybody else here. We've got absolute, extraordinary men that can out-preach any people in the world. We'll put them up beside any theologians in the world. They can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ with greatness, with power, with simplicity,
right.
And yet they can stand toe-to-toe with the theologians of the world. They can even debate the scriptures if it comes down to it. They can defend the scriptures, and really the scriptures don't need much defending. The word of the Lord is simple and plain. You can't explain away Acts 2:38 if you spend 1,000,000 years, and we've seen men try to explain it away. But when it's all said and done, it's just still there, thank God. And we simple Pentecostals say, we've got it, we've got it, we've got it. Hallelujah. While men on the radio are constantly spending their time trying to tell us that it's done away with, it's not for us today. We're sitting there with that Holy Ghost bubbling up in our souls and saying, but we got it, we got it, we got it, we know it's right. You deceive a world if you want to, but you can't fool me. I know I got it.
Hallelujah.
K-A-Y, they got some doozies on that thing. I heard one of these guys the other day. I wanted to challenge him to debate. I can't debate a lot of things, but I could debate this issue. He was saying that when murder is committed, we need quick execution. Preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you can find anywhere in the New Testament scripture where Jesus gave him the authority to quickly execute folks. I know murder's bad, and you can have your issue on capital punishment if you want to. And you can think of those things. I'm not trying to change that. But I couldn't imagine. This is a man that preached that all you had to do to be saved was believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And he believed that man that committed murder, he could walk to the prison. If he believed upon Jesus Christ, he is strictly going to heaven. But he wants to execute him real quick. Get him on over to glory world fast. That's all right. You think about it. That does make some sense, don't it? It's not as crazy as it sounds on the surface, is it? But anyway, have it as it may be. This disturbed me. This is a preacher that's supposed to be compassion and mercy. He wants to kill them quick. Just get them executed quick, just like the Bible said. He's trying to get over the Mosaic law and deal with something he didn't really know what he's talking about. But there's a lot of stuff going on the radio. And if you want to get educated, really, you listen to KARN on all the daily events. And when you get through at the end of the day, you'll certainly be all mixed up. Here's some doozies on that. Sometimes I want to get on the phone and call long distance, and I won't stop because I just can't hardly handle all that stuff that they say. But I really get educated. But it's good to listen. Pay attention to what's going on in the world. But that makes me all the more appreciate the fact that we are the servants of Most High God. But this man had 5 talents. He turned it to 10. The one that had 4, he turned to 2. He turned it to 4. The master praised him for it. The master spoke some of the most beautiful words you could ever hear. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. I don't know anything better than those words of praise and honor for the boss or anybody else. Say, you did all right. You did just like I wanted. You say, how did I do? You did good. You did excellent. And I really appreciate what you did. And this is what the Master's saying. He's trying to tell us that God will say to us, well done. Thank God, Brother Yeager, you did all right in the old days. Thank God, don't you wish we could go back to Kosciuszko one more time, though, and get some of those little buildings that the Baptist folks disinherited and give away to us before Pentecostals, and let us walk down there and preach one more time as the servant of Jesus Christ under the holy anointing of God, and what you and Sister Ellen shout all over the place and us glorify God. They can have all the fancy things of this world if they'll give us just what we had then. But the beautiful part, we got it. We got it right here tonight. We got the same glory of God. We got the same blessing. We got the same shout. We got the same praise. We got the same Spirit, the same Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory.
Amen.
I don't say this with any criticism at all. Y'all remember Big Boy. We called him Red Rooster. I conducted his funeral service several years ago. But he used to call me and he'd say, Brother McCarthy, you know what's wrong with Pentecost? I said, I know there's anything wrong with it. And I don't. There ain't nothing wrong with it. Just wrong with a few folks that professing it. Don't live right, but ain't nothing wrong with this. This is genuine, right. No criticism been found. Angels wanted to look into this.
Amen.
Holy men of God way back long. They wrote about it, longed to see it. Couldn't experience it. But this is for us, the Gentiles. Thank God. In this day, I'm glad I'm living right now. We say this is such an ungodly day, an ungodly world. But look what we've seen in our generation. No generation in all the world saw what I saw in my generation. I rode horseback. Now folks will go out and pay big money and feed horses to ride horseback. And I had to ride them old horses as a means of transportation. I can't understand what's wrong with you folks.
Yeah.
You ought to live when I live. When I got off of them horses and got rid of them things, I ain't want no more horses.
On your side.
And I see people, grown folks, out riding bicycles. My Lord, I got all that walking with that thing on that thing I wanted when I was a kid. That's the only way I had to go. No fenders on it, slinging mud all over my back. I got rid of the bicycle. I'm going to drive me a car if I can. But we've seen the car. We've seen the airplane. We've seen the jetliner. We've seen the space age. We've seen it all in our day. But I don't know what else we'll see and no telling what. But God has brought us to this good hour with the blessings of God.
Hallelujah.
And how thankful we are. We are the servants of the Most High God. But oh, look at the danger. Pride lifted up in old Gehazi and said, I want it, but Gehazi, you don't want it. But I do, but you don't. And he got it, and he realized he didn't want it.
That's right.
Thousands of people have looked at the world and said, young boys and young girls have thought they'd missed something in the church. They've looked toward the world and lost it all. Tonight, under the burdens of sin, and some of them in 2 and 3 marriages and all kinds of problems and alcohol, they'd give anything in the world if they could sit where Brother Taylor is tonight. Thank God and feel the Shekinah glory of God coming down and say, oh, how wonderful it is to be a servant of the Most High God. Let me say this in closing tonight. I may have told you this, but it's always stuck with me. My uncle was Assembly of God man. And long years ago, when I was about 20 years of age, he picked me up in town one night, high on the bottle. He wasn't so drunk, but what he could talk well. And he said, Bud, you're going to stay all night with me tonight. But it didn't make any difference. I was staying wherever I could, and a long ways back to face. And sure didn't want to hitchhike back home. I was coming to town to go to church whenever I could. But he said, you're going to stay all night with me. And we went to the Hotel Pines, and he sat down in a chair. And he said, I want to talk to you. He said, Bud, said, several years ago, I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, greatest experience that I ever received in my life. Said, I lived for God quite a while, and said, me and my wife had problems. We finally wound up backsliding and divorcing. He said, I've been married twice since. But here's what he said, and this will get to you. He said, Bud, please don't lose out with God. From the man that's known, the man under the influence of alcohol, the man that's known, is begging me, please don't lose out with God. Later years, he began to pray and seek the Lord. He had some problems trying to shake his cigarette habit, but He tried to win his way back to God and prayed constantly. And I conducted his funeral service, and I told that first time, I guess anybody ever known that, at that funeral service. But that stuck with me through the years. Please don't lose that with God. I know what it means.
Amen.
To be a servant of God's the greatest thing in the world. Are you happy tonight just to be a servant? But you can lose it. You can lose it. You can lose it if you aren't careful. You can do what Gehazi did. You can sell out. But, oh, God, I want to hold on to this. This is all I've got. Church is all I've got. That's all that's left. Heaven's all that's left. Hallelujah. I want to stay apostolic to the call. I appreciate God tonight. I appreciate you folks. I appreciate what I feel tonight. Hallelujah. Let me say one more thing in closing. Everything that God does for us, we got to be accountable for it. As a servant, we got to be accountable how we treat one another. And Brother Rutledge won't mind me saying this because he's in no shape, form, or fashion guilty. But I remember years ago while pastoring a church, young evangelist sometimes sitting and telling me some horror stories about how that they'd preach revival, struggling, and the preacher take up an offering and not give them all the offering. And my mind would almost play tricks on me. How can this be? We're preachers. We're servants of God. We can't do this. And I'm going to tell you, that preacher's got to answer to God.
That's right.
He's got to answer to God how he treated that evangelist. How he took care of that evangelist. The reason I say that, y'all do far more than you're supposed to do. You got a reputation of doing more than average. Way, way more than average. But keep it up. Oh, we got to answer to God. How we treat one another. How we do one another. I've seen some big men talk mean to some young preachers and some younger men and some smaller preachers. But you know what? I've watched God through the years bring that very thing around and the wheels of justice turn. You ain't going to fool God.
Yeah.
We're
going
to have to answer how we treat one another. I got to treat you right. You got to treat me right. We got to treat our pastor right. Or God's going to call us into judgment. God's going to call us into judgment. We can't play no tricks. We got to be straight. You love God tonight? Oh, hallelujah. Brother Rutledge, praise God.
Understand?
Oh, coming home. Somebody ought to already be on your way to the altar. You ought to already be on your way to the altar to see God. Do you need him tonight? Well,